from the Goodnight Scholarships office at NC State University. I'm Anthony Olaya Wright, and this is Have a Good Night. On today's podcast episode, I sat down with Kirsten McDonald, and we talk all about chicken. Her love for chicken, wanting to work with chicken, what chicken plants look like, the process of getting chicken to all the places that chicken are served, and other things about chicken. Without further ado, let's get into the episode. Okay, kicking things off, I need you to rank these three chicken places from best to worst. I'm gonna say four, okay? Best to worst. Bojangles, Popeyes, Chick-fil-A, KFC.
Okay, number one would have to be Chick-fil-A.
Best.
I know I'm gluten-free, so I can't do fried. Okay. So best would be Chick-fil-A because I can eat a grilled chicken sandwich. And then I don't know that I've ever had Popeye's chicken.
You never had Popeye? If you're gluten-free, you clearly aren't eating Popeye. I have nothing baked.
I don't know that. I don't think I've ever actually even eaten at a Popeye's in general. To even see if they had like grilled chicken or anything. But Bojangles used to have grilled chicken bites that were pretty good. They discontinued them. And then KFC, before I learned about my allergy, my mom would give us their popcorn chicken when we were little. So I kind of got tired of it. So that would probably be at the bottom. But I guess I'd have to put Popeyes at the very bottom because I don't ever eat there.
I'm going to give you my list.
Okay, go ahead.
So Chick-fil-A was something that was introduced to me at a later stage in my life. So we didn't have Chick-fil-A's in Wisconsin like that until I think I was a sophomore or junior in college. And so literally until moving down to North Carolina, never was big on Chick-fil-A. I'm currently eating the Southwest salad, you know what I'm saying? With the grilled chicken, spicy chicken, the avocado ranch dressing. Phenomenal salad. So Chick-fil-A, number one. Popeyes, number two, absolutely. It, the breading on the chicken, the that you hear when you take a bite, you know what I'm saying? Chicken is fantastic. Bojangles is number three. I know North Carolinians love them some Bojangles. Oh, you got to try the chicken strips. What about the rest of the menu? You know? Bojangles is number three, and then KFC is number four. I just can't do soft fried chicken.
Yeah.
The skin is loose, you know?
I got you. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
A company that I worked for, I'm not going to name the company. we actually produced chicken for Chick-fil-A.
So, ooh. Yeah. I have so many questions for you. I can't wait to get started. But thank you so much for joining us on the Have a Good Night podcast. Tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? How did you get here at NC State?
Okay, so I am Kirsten McDonald, and I'm a Goodnight with the transfer cohort of 2025. I am from Richmond County, Rockingham, North Carolina. I was born in a rural community. I was raised about as country as they come, I guess, and I kind of worked on a game farm throughout high school and kind of messed around with poultry then. And then I had a backyard flock also of chickens growing up. So kind of, you know, run around in the backyard with all these little chickens and go feed them and whatnot. And then I did, I actually got first in a scrapbook based off of those chickens one year. but then throughout high school, I kind of tried to figure out, you know, what do I actually want to do in life? Where do I want to go? And I started my ag classes then. And, you know, NC State was kind of like the big name because of ag in general, you know. So NC State was normally really like my only option. I didn't apply anywhere else, actually. So then I did community college classes while I was in high school. And I got in the C3 program that we have here at NC State. That is the Community College Collaborations program. Richmond Community College also had that program, so they collaborated with NC State, and I got into it, which guaranteed me enrollment into NC State. And then one random day, I got an email telling me to apply for the Goodnight Scholar program, and I did that. And now I am here at NC State in my second year and possibly graduating at the end of this year with a poultry science degree.
Three things. I'm going to start in reverse order. One, hate that you're graduating. I love that you're graduating. Good for you. Hate to see you potentially go a year too soon.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Second, being from Richmond County. Richmond County?
Richmond County, yep.
Do you ever say Richwood and people say Richmond?
I have never said that.
Do you know where that's from?
No, I don't.
Coach Carter, Samuel L. Jackson coaches the Richmond Oilers in what I believe is California. And like their basketball chant, Richwood, Richmond. And so every time I hear Richmond anything, I just automatically want to say Richwood, but not no one else. A lot of people don't quite get the reference.
Yep.
And three, so you just had chickens at the crib, just like kind of.
Just roaming around my yard all day.
How many chickens are we talking about?
I probably had like 8 growing up, just like a little go collect their eggs, fun little thing for me to do when I started showing an interest in poultry, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess to my second question of like, how does one say, you know what I want to do when I grow up? I want to go into poultry science. Like was the chickens around the yard enough just to like spark this desire for you?
Well, so the way I guess it kind of all started is, you know, we had dogs when I was growing up. So my dad would go to Tractor Supply and buy the dog food. Well, we walked into Tractor Supply one day and they have this chicken coop outside. I was probably 8 years old. Maybe 10 tops. And they had this chicken coop and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want chickens. Well, to make it even better, we walk into Tractor Supply and there's the chicks. And I'm like, okay, we're getting chickens. Like, we're not having these chickens. So we get the coop and we build it. And then my dad actually was like, no, we're not getting the chickens from here. So we went to the Standridge Farm Auction, where there are just chickens roaming around everywhere. And there's this auctioneer on stage bidding off all these chickens and all these animals to all these farmers. And that's where we got my chickens from. And then...
What do you mean they... So he was just like, hey, and 45,
yep,
blah, blah,
blah, yep, chicken, blah, yep.
What?
Yep, they put the chicken on the table and it just starts going and you throw up your sign and... it's just... There's chickens flying around the room that get loose and you're like, oh, that one's yours. Like...
Go catch it.
It's a thing they do.
Wow. Okay. Continue.
Yep. So then after that, I kind of got involved in some 4-H stuff. And then I, you know, raised them from chicks on up. And then I started working at the game farm where we raised quail, pheasants, chuckers, and ducks with, they're now my in-laws, but close family. No, the family that does the game farm.
Not the ducks.
But I started working for them some in the summer just to get more into the industry and learn a little bit more about birds and whatnot. And then,
wow.
I was like, you know, everyone eats chickens. There's always going to be a job in this industry. Everyone around me in my county had chicken houses. I mean, I was like, okay, this is a large scale industry that there's going to be a guaranteed job in. And why else would I not want to support agriculture?
You know, I never grew up thinking about the industries such as like poultry science or just like working with like agriculture as industries in which there will always be a demand, but you're absolutely right. Like I think I've shared this before on the pod, but like I was engineering going into undergrad and it was because my mom was like, oh, like there's always going to be a job for an engineer, but there's always going to be a job for a poultry scientist.
Yeah.
Always. Because everyone, I currently am eating chicken.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone, a lot of people eat chicken. And so we're going to need people to make sure the chicken is okay. That's crazy. Speaking of, now we're about to get into the hard-hitting questions. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the pod. This conversation that you're like tuning into was the product of me having just a lot of questions about chicken. This is a chicken podcast. And Kirsten, our local expert, is going to inform us all.
Expert is a large word, but I'll try my best.
of what's going on in these young chicken streets. So I asked you this when you were in my office, but do you trust what we eat? Like, you've seen it all, right? Yeah. Like, what's your take on the state of, give us the state of the chicken address.
So personally, me, I still eat chicken. So I've done an internship in the industry. I've talked to industry professionals that I know. I mean, they still eat chicken. Working in the industry and working in a processing facility, you know, I see all the things that are in place to ensure that what we're eating is safe. I see all the critical control points and the hazard analysis control points that are implemented daily so that these production facilities run like they're supposed to and that you get the quality of meat that the company's telling you that you're getting. And to back that, in any poultry plant, there's also USDA, which is somebody who doesn't work for the plant. They work for the government. So they are constantly regulating this plant. A plant cannot run unless a USDA person is there. So that's kind of like an outside person from the individual company that comes in and is constantly ensuring that all these things are taking place, all these samplings are being done, all of these sorts of things so that what you're eating is safe.
Okay.
And they work specifically for the government and not for the company. So, you know, some people are like, oh, the company puts out this, the company puts out that. Well, there's someone in that production facility that doesn't work for the company that has an outside say that can shut down that plant at any moment.
Yeah. You were kind of talking about that when we had our check-in. Can you talk a little bit about what a plant kind of like looks like? Is that the correct word? Like a chicken plant?
Processing facility, same thing. Yeah.
What does it all look like? Give us a snapshot of chicken from start to our table.
Okay. So one, there's different types of facilities. So there's, you know, the processing facility, and then there's also further processing facilities. So like the chicken nuggets that you buy in the bag at Walmart or something, those have went through a further processing facility, which is something I'm not as familiar with because I've worked in a processing plant, like first processing, second processing. So in regards to first processing and second processing, you know, the birds come in on live haul and then they go through a stunner, and then they go all the way through the process of being harvested. They get hung on these shackles and for, I don't know, lack of a better word. And then, you know, they start going through the plant after they've been, I don't know, can I use the word killed on here? Okay. So, I mean, that's what happens. But, so yeah, after that's taken place, then they go through a feather picker, a scalder, a chiller, an evisceration process, which is taking all that inside guts and all that out. And then they go back through another chiller and then they get rehang. And then that's when you start cut up and debone. And that's kind of when it comes into whatever that plant is producing. Mm-hmm. So like, at the plant I worked at, we had, you know, tray pack and ground chicken and things like that. So, you know, the plant starts individualizing itself for certain products, I guess you'd say.
Got you. Hearing that and you seeing that on a regular basis, I mean, again, I'm still going to eat this chicken, right? I think yeah. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, man, for people who eat meat, like the concept of it sometimes like is very like wow to me, right? Of like, yeah. Oh, like this was once alive and it's now, I'm now consuming it. You know, like that can feel kind of weird. Does that ever like feel weird for you?
Not really. I guess because to the way that I was raised, I mean, that's how we ate. We hunted, fished, all that. I mean, I've watched it come straight from the woods into my house, like, yeah. You know, so I mean, that's kind of a normal for me, but I do understand those people that have different preferences and, you know, that's totally fine. Everyone's going to eat what they want and what they like and what they don't like. But for me personally, I do believe that what I eat and what I see is safe because I've seen all of the regulatory actions that go behind producing one chicken breast.
Yeah.
Even though the plant normally, I mean, if you walk in, you would be totally overwhelmed having no knowledge of how a plant runs. Because, I mean, it looks like utter chaos, but everyone has their specific job, specific position. You're going to stand right here. You're going to cut this just like this. You're going to watch this machine do this. You're going to make sure this doesn't come down the line, things like that.
It arguably, one can say it looks like people running around like chickens with their head cut off.
Yeah.
That's cool though. Random questions that have come to my head that are not on the list of questions that I sent you. Do you remember the time that there was like a chicken wing shortage?
No.
Okay. There was a period of time, I think it was like early to like prime pandemic like time. Uh-huh. So like probably like in 2021 at some point where there's a chicken wing shortage. And I was like, huh, how's there a chicken wing shortage, but there's no shortage of everything else? Like, what's going on with the wings? Do you know how something like that can happen?
I guess you would say in a case like that, like we've been what we call like tight on wings. And a lot of times we realize it or like a shortage comes after February.
What's in February?
Think. What's in February?
February.
I could ask you a question. What's in February?
Only thing that's popping in my head is Valentine's Day, but I'm like, that's not right.
That the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Super Bowl. Hello.
Yep. So when all that product is being bought up. Mm. So then after that, you know, so I mean, the industry kind of plans for those types of things, but you know, that's a really big time. But yeah, there's times where it's like, oh, there's a higher demand in this, a lower demand in this. And, you know, if prices of something are higher and like if a breast is higher than a wing or something, you know, in a crunch period like COVID or something, people are going to buy the lower price.
Right. Which is why I consume chicken thighs. Like it's nobody. Why is the chicken thigh so cheap in comparison to the other parts of the chicken? Is it just because it's dark meat?
Yeah. I mean, I would assume so. I don't do a lot in the business side, Anthony. No, I'm not ag business. But I would assume, yes, because that's just a lower preference.
Man, if you're listening, don't eat the chicken thighs. Leave them to me. If you buy the big, how many come like, it's like a long, maybe like 8, 10 chicken thighs. Debone them at the crib, cut them up, freeze them, or season them, freeze them, thaw, pop them in, fire. Also, do you say thaw or do you say de-thaw?
Or thaw un-thaw? Out.
Yeah.
Thaw out. That's what I
say. A lot of people say unthaw, and I'm like, that's not.
Or lay out.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not. Unthaw means that you're actually freezing it, you know?
Yeah.
To thaw something is the process of defrosting.
Yeah, I feel like normally in a conversation, I'll be like, hey, will y'all lay that out? Like if something's in, like if my mom calls or something, she's like, hey, will you lay that chicken out that's in the freezer? Like to thaw out. That's how we always refer to it.
So you've had a couple internships. You may or may not be graduating. what do you hope your career looks like once you graduate? What do you want to do?
So for me personally, kind of like some of the stuff I've touched on, you know, I said that, you know, there's USDA in every plant, but also there's a quality assurance and food safety team, which is kind of the mediator between the company and USDA. So quality and food safety technically work for the company, like you would apply for that job through that company, but then you work closely as well with USDA to make sure your plant is running, make sure everything's going the way it's supposed to and things like that. So yeah, that's kind of where I see myself as in that department and that realm of the poultry world.
That'd be cool. 20 years from now, are you going to run? You hope to run your own chicken place? What do you want to do?
Probably be a quality assurance and food safety manager somewhere and, you know, manage a team of QA techs that work in a processing facility. Because with a QA team, you have multiple QA techs and they are running all these checks. And then as a manager, you're making sure that all of that is happening and going how it's supposed to. And those are the people that are really ensuring that your food is safe and that nothing's going on that shouldn't be in the plant.
We appreciate your dedication and service to make sure that I'm eating something that is safe and that is good. Well, yeah, that's good because you don't want bad chicken. That sounds horrible.
No.
Final question for you. Second to final question for you.
Second.
So there's so many chicken places. Like there's so many chicken, like places that sell chicken. There's so many houses that eat chicken. There's chicken everywhere. I'm looking at the Subway across the street right now. They got the chicken teriyaki, you know, like breaded chicken sandwich, all these things. How is there so much chicken?
Okay, so if you think of just North, let's just put this in a, just think of North Carolina, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in North Carolina, you have about 5,700 roughly families that farm poultry or that raise poultry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like family farms. And I mean, one farm can range from having two chicken houses to 20. I mean, you know, there's a big variation there, okay, of how big your chicken farm is going to be. So just in North Carolina, that's how many family farms you have that raise poultry. Raise broiler. Well, yeah, chickens and turkeys, I guess. Turkeys are probably in that number somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But then broilers per house, per chicken house, which is like a 60 by 600 foot house probably, range from 36,000 to 32,000 chickens in that one individual house.
Mm.
Now, do you know how long it takes to grow a broiler chicken, which is the chicken that you eat?
All right, like an adult, like from chick to adult?
Yep. At like what weak point they would go to the processing plant?
Okay, I'm gonna guess here, and I'm gonna say 8 weeks.
So it's 6 to 8 weeks.
Let's go.
So one house grows close to, well, average 40,000 chickens in 6 weeks. And there's one house.
Okay.
And then they kind of their downtime is probably roughly 2 weeks. So within a year, you can have multiple flocks in that one house. Because it only took you 6 to 8 weeks to grow that one flock. And then you have a 2 week down period. So you still have the rest of the year to keep rotating and doing and, you know, whatever. So, but then you're growing almost 40,000 chickens in that one house.
Mm.
So if you just do, let's do some quick math. Say all of these people have one house in North Carolina. Let me get my calculator. Let's see, 57,000 times, and we'll just say roughly 40,000. And that's only for one flock to come through the house. That's going to be backwards.
228 million.
That's if each of those families that raise poultry only have one house and only produce one time. That's how many you would have.
That's crazy.
And now and those people have multiple houses. And I mean, say these people just do it for, say they have one house and they have four flocks a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's how many is getting raised in North Carolina a year.
912 million in North Carolina alone a year for one house.
At each of these family farms.
At each of these family farms. Okay. And that's just, and that's like you said, that's just one house. That's just one state.
Yep.
In one country.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. My mind is blown.
In terms of a processing facility, we ran about 120 birds a minute. Is about how many birds we harvested.
A minute?
A minute.
Dang.
Yep. That, well, it's referred to as line speed. So we ran about 120 birds a minute.
And this is a minute from... Or not a minute, but like the process of boom that you said earlier in the pod, like from start to kind of like finish.
Not necessarily. This would be hanging. Mm-hmm. This sounds awful for people. I'm trying to think outside of a poultry mind when I'm saying you're hanging a bird.
Are
you okay? Hey, they, but that's the goal of how many birds to be hung a minute run through the facility.
To be put on the line, 120 a minute in an ideal world for like efficiency purposes. Yep. Okay. Yep.
That's what we ran at the plant that that was the goal to run at the plant that I worked at.
Gotcha.
Now, some plants are a lot larger and they do 140 birds some even go up above that. And some plants have multiple lines, you know, so it's crazy.
Man, that's why we need you. We need you in the field because I hear 120 birds a minute on the line. And I'm like, man, we gotta ensure that all these are safe for consumption.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah.
Because I can see how.
And when one thing goes wrong, it's, you know, the whole plant is getting shut down. And then you're backing up birds that are sitting on a truck that are coming in. And I mean, it's a whole thing. Like, 10 minutes of downtime in a processing plant can cost a company so much money. And a lot of people don't realize that because you're like, oh, that's 10 minutes. Well, if you have 400 workers in that facility, that's 10 minutes that they weren't working. Mm-hmm. And then that's 10 minutes that these birds were sitting on a truck.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Kirsten, you're putting the people on it to the, this is the information that the world needs. This is the information that the world needs. Is there, to wrap up, is there, I don't say a word of advice. I don't know if you can give advice on chicken, but maybe like, is there one thing that you want to leave the people with before you head out?
I guess Chick-fil-A saying would be the best.
Okay.
Eat more chicken.
Eat more chicken. You heard it here first from Kirsten McDonald. Thank you so much.
Kirsten has a job.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I will, of course, see you around wherever I see you.
All right, Anthony. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to hear more, subscribe and give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening on. If you are a prospective student and you're interested in learning more about the Goodnight Scholarship, shoot us an email at goodnightscholarship@ncsu.edu. And remember, no matter what time of day you're listening in, we always hope that you have a good night. My name is Anthony Eli Wright. Peace out.